Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bible, you'll want to turn it at this time to the book of Philippians. We'll be looking at chapter 3, verses 7 through 16, and Philippians 4 and verse 8. We'll be looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of September the 6th, 1925. And so we'll look at this in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes by way of introduction to this study of this text in Philippians chapter 3. Paul's letter to the Philippians. The letter was written from Rome during Paul's first imprisonment. It was sent by Epaphroditus, who had gone from Philippi to Rome to carry a contribution to Paul from the church. He hazarded his life to do this, Philippians 2 and verse 30, and while in Rome he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, Philippians 2, 27, and he recovered and was sent back by Paul in joy to Philippi. The letter is an expression of tenderness, gratitude, thanksgiving, and love for the kind remembrance of the congregation and for their encouragement and hope in the service of God. The church loved Paul and had extended to him fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel from the first day of its existence until he wrote that letter. There was doubtless great joy in the church when Epaphroditus returned and the letter was read. Every time Paul thought of the saints there, he thanked God. He also remembered them every time he prayed. He praised them for their liberality to him and faithfulness to God under persecution. He informed them how his imprisonment had turned out to the spread of the truth. He exhorted them to usefulness and pointed them to Jesus as their great exemplar. He warned them against Judaizing teachers and expressed his one purpose to serve God to the end, leaving behind all things to do so. And he exhorts all to live a righteous and godly life. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, we read, "Howbeit what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Jesus Christ." Paul writes in verse 7, "Howbeit what things were gained to me?" They're the worldly attainments and advancements and honors named in verses 4 through 6. Let me read those to you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. "Though I myself might have confidence, even in the flesh, if any other thinketh to have confidence in the flesh, I yet more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But those are the things, he said, that were gained to me, that he counted loss for Christ. He fully and carried out Christ's command to forsake all persons and to give up all things that stood in the way of his becoming a Christian or hindered his progress in the Christian life. Thousands of professed disciples of Christ seem never to have realized this must be done. They seek worldly wealth, stations, and honor as diligently as people of the world. They maintain no difference between the church and the world. Paul counted all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, and counted them but refuge, the King James Version says, but dung, in order to gain Christ, and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of his own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Let us notice that expression, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. To know God and Christ is eternal life, John 17:3. This knowledge is excellent because it brings remission of sins, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ on earth, and salvation forever in heaven, Colossians 1 and verse 14, and Ephesians 1 and verse 3. In order to realize what it means to know Christ, let's read Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 29. Here Paul writes, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and to make request for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens, and you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sakes, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I was made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which was given me to you ward, to fulfill the Word of God, even the mystery which had been hid for ages and generations, but now hath it been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I labor also, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. How greatly, beyond human wisdom and all description, is the excellency of this knowledge, to know Christ and God is to obey them. John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul names here two distinct kinds of righteousness: the righteousness which is of the law, and the righteousness which is through faith in Christ. Had men kept the law in sinless perfection from the cradle to the grave, never at any time in any way breaking it, righteousness would have been of the law, and salvation a matter of debt, Romans 4:4. But not one ever did this. Hence the salvation of necessity must be by grace through faith in Christ. When men, as did the Jews, seek righteousness through the law which Christ fulfilled and abolished, they seek righteousness of their own, that is, in their own way. Ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness and refuse to submit to God's righteousness. That is what we read in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Righteousness comes from the word right. Man's righteousness is what man teaches is right, and God's righteousness is what God teaches is right. The righteousness which is through faith in Christ is submitting to the gospel of Christ. That's what God teaches through Christ must be done. There can be no righteousness through faith in Christ in disobedience to Christ. Faith in Christ works through love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. Christ was righteous in obedience to God and was baptized in order to fulfill all God's righteousness, Matthew 3:15. As Christ was righteous, because he did the will of God, so everyone who does righteousness is righteous, John 3 and verse 7. Everyone who through faith in Christ does the will of God, which is working righteousness, is acceptable to God, Acts 10 and verse 35. Hence salvation is not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, which we devise or invent or seek through the fulfilled and abolished law, but it is through faith in Christ, which faith leads to repentance of all sins and into the washing of regeneration, that is, the baptism and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, and being justified by his grace, not by works of the law, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. This, Paul's faith in Christ, led him to do, for Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. The Jews, in trying to make the old law their gospel of salvation, failed. We live by faith and receive God's grace.